this is just a, can you turn that light down a little bit? This is just a little bit of what heaven is going to be like. It's just incredible to think about the glory. Can you imagine a multitude that no man can number, all at once singing Hosanna to God? It's just amazing that God called each one of us to be part of that. And, you know, God promises that if we seek him, that he's going to reward us. And what a time. Most revivals, if you study the last 200 or 300 years, most revivals happened at one of the lowest points in history, one of the lowest points in a nation. You know, it's like when, what was his name? The Thomas, he went to China. And he went there, and it was such disarray in that nation, and others who went to India. You know, I believe the atmosphere is ripe for a move of God, and I so appreciate everyone praying yesterday. I want to talk this morning. It's kind of a continuation from Wednesday night. We talked about be angry and sin not. I don't think I've ever seen a time when anger is everywhere. And I don't know about you, but I'm not very good handling anger. I'm a whole lot better handling love and joy and patience. I want to talk to you this morning about the anger-free zone. The anger-free zone. I want to talk to you about a zone that is anger-free. How many want to live in an anger-free zone? I want to just review just a little bit Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Heavenly Father, bless your people today, and let us hear from heaven in Jesus' name. Paul is very clear here. He's basically saying there is a place for anger, but not mixed with sin. There's anger against unrighteousness. There's anger against abuse. The problem we have is clarifying the line between the incident, the issue, and the person. When I sin with anger, it's because I've directed my anger at the person, not the injustice. We know this, that when Jesus was gathered together and the Pharisees were there, and it was the Sabbath day, we know that the Pharisees said, are you going to heal on the Sabbath day? The Bible says that Jesus looked around to them with anger, being grieved at the hardness of his heart. And if you really study the context, he wasn't putting his anger on the Pharisees. He was angry that their hearts were so hardened. And I know this because Zacchaeus and other Pharisees got saved, became followers of Christ. Jesus didn't, I'm angry with you Pharisees, I can't stand you. No, he was angry that their hearts were not soft towards God. You know, the God kind of anger is defined as this. This is the God kind of anger. Energy aroused in defense of something good and released against something evil. God wishes none to perish. God controls his anger at evil. And he also, if there's something blocking good, how much more should we today? Look at all of the hate and the injustice and the things that are caused because of anger. Anger, sure, against injustice. Anger against all the issues, sure, but not at a person. I've been to maximum security prisons. And, you know, when I first went years ago, I thought everybody in there, you know, they were just hard, just, you know, the anger. And I was astonished. We had about 200, 300 men in the service. And afterwards, I got to talk to some as I was walking out. They were just like, these folks are just like me. I could be in here. I was very surprised. But most of them would say, in a moment of anger, they put their anger on someone else and took their life. I met a man, he said, I've got a wife and three children or two children. He said, I'm in here for life. I can't get out. Sweetest man you'd ever meet. Like, you know, I was like astonished when I left. You know, Solomon said about observation. Observation is the key to wisdom. And so wherever I go, I like to observe people. I'm like Columbo, you know, people don't know. But I like to observe because in observation comes understanding, and the understanding gives us a clarification of not only human behavior, but what I can do to help that person. So when I'm observing, it's only to get understanding, how can I help next time in that situation? I mean, when you leave that maximum security prison and you were in there praising God with prisoners and stuff, and your heart wants to, I wish they could get out, you just go to your car differently. And that's why Jesus said, visit those in prison. Because he loves those in prison. He loves those that took their anger and directed at a person, that he still loves them because he knows our weaknesses. And let's just be down to earth, home cooking honest. Most of our problems in our personal life we've created is because we were angry. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 4. How many want to live in an anger-free zone? Hallelujah. If you don't, just read about Moses striking the rock twice and see, I wish he would have been in that zone. He got out of that zone. Genesis 4, verse 1, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, but Cain unto his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If you do well, won't you be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin lieth at the door. Unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him, master it. Actually, the Hebrew says, Cain talked with Abel his brother, and came to pass when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? If you think about the consequences of what Cain did and how it has reached today, first generation from Adam and Eve, there was predetermined, calculated, hateful murder. That DNA went into the rest of humanity. I want to live in an anger-free zone. Now, I want to back up to this verse, because this verse, if you don't study and get some commentary, you could take it wrong what he's saying here. It says, if you do well, won't you be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. That's not talking about Cain or Abel. They use a personal pronoun that's talking about sin. It's talking about anger. Anger will rule over you if you don't master it. Wow. How many have ever lost your temper and you wish to God you hadn't? You have to master it. Being in the anger free zone is where I learned to master my anger. Amen. Can you imagine living in a world free from anger, impatience, irritation? Is it possible to live in that zone? Yes, it is. It's very possible, and it's the will of God. It's not going to come by just an intellectual or a logical decision, because this is a heart decision. The anger-free zone is my heart, that I don't allow seeds of resentment and bitterness to grow there. For out of the abundance of the mouth, of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Guard your heart with all diligence. Let me give you four qualities of the anger-free zone. How many want these qualities? The primary indirect sin other than anger from Cain was jealousy. He was jealous. Jealousy is everywhere. Are you kidding? I was raised with nine of us. Jealousy. How about at high school? Jealousy. Jealousy among guys. Jealousy among girls. Jealousy is everywhere on your job. So the first quality of an anger-free zone is I'm free from jealousy. I will make a decision. I will not be jealous. If this one gets promoted 20 times more than me, my life's in God's hands. I will not be jealous if someone has a new car and mine is in the shop all the time. I will not be jealous if God promotes someone over me in the ministry. I will not be jealous because that is the highway for you to get angry next week. We got to settle that. Jealousy is a sign of a deep insecurity, not knowing who you are. Cain didn't realize he was a son of God. Cain didn't realize when God came to him, he was saying, listen, Cain, he didn't say, I love you. He said, listen, all you got to do what is right and everything will work out. But jealousy blinded his eyes. How many men or women in prison because of a mate was found in adultery or whatever, and they went and killed their boyfriend or girlfriend in a jealous rage? Free of jealousy. How about this? The second thing in the anger-free zone, free of comparison. When you and I compare with one another, we're not wise. Because if I have any insecurity, my comparison will always lead me to angry. Why am I not good enough? How come I can't do that? You know, when David came up to slay the giant, his brothers were so jealous of him. But he came up without any anger. If you research the Hebrew, how Eliab talked to David was in an angry tone. Why are you up here? Who did you leave those sheep with? He was in an angry zone. David was not, because he had been with God. And so when David came up, even though Eliab's anger tried to provoke him, he was in an anger-free zone. He said, what are you talking about? Is there not a cause? Your problem, Eliab, is you don't have God's cause. You just want to be king. Abinadab, your problem is you don't have the cause of God. You've got your own cause. And so the Hebrew, the tone of it, he was angry at David. You and I cannot get through life without people angry at us. It is impossible. Someone can think you cut them off. Someone can think this. I remember years ago, Will, we were going this ride on this thing, and this guy thought I had got in line. It's a long line. He thought I had got in line. I did not cut him off. I don't know what's. And he was, anger with his little boy there. I was like, okay, go ahead and go in front of me. But I did not cut him off. You see, we can't get through life because there's so many people not in an anger-free zone. I want to be in an anger-free zone. I tell you what. How about the next thing, an anger-free zone? It's free of competition. The only person you're competing with for, against, is yourself. No one else. This church, we're not competing with a church down the street. They might have smoke machines and stuff. They might have angels coming in. I'm not competing with anybody. I'm not competing with anybody on television or anybody else's ministry. Listen, we're not into this to compete. We're, as members of the body of Christ, are here to complete. And like this brother that was singing, man, if that brother could come here and sing, I'd hug him, brother. What an encouragement you are. Man, I can tell by the way he was singing. That man has been through some things. I could tell it. I can feel it. That man's been through some things, and he pressed through, got out of the anger zone, and the presence of God flowing through him. Just incredible to me. Incredible. I don't always know what the anointing is, But I know what it's not. Anger-free zone, the next one, free of hate. He that hateth his brother has no eternal life in him. Hate is everywhere. Are we to hate sin? Yes. Are we to hate injustice? Yes. But never a person. The only person we can hate is the devil. How many will live in that zone? Now let's talk about this. He says, am I my brother's keeper? That's a pretty powerful statement that Cain made. First of all, he says, I don't know where he is. He lied. And then to justify his murder and his lies, he said, well, I'm not my brother's keeper. What are you talking about? I'm on this earth for me. Everything's about me. How I'm treated, everything's about me. What do you mean? I don't have to care about anybody else. I don't care about him. He's a shepherd. I don't have to care for him. He's not a tiller of the ground. Why should I care for him? He doesn't do what I do. He doesn't talk what I talk. So I don't have to care for him. It's just me and mine. And I've been hurt enough. And I've been to all this. We say this. And I'm not going to ever trust people again. And I'm just going to, listen, I'm not my brother's keeper. Leave me alone. I don't want to keep anybody. I've tried that. I've tried to help people. I've tried that. And guess what? And I'm not my brother's keeper anymore. It's just me and Jesus, and I'm going to heaven, and that's it. Well, you're angry. You're not in the anger-free zone. I have to look to my Savior, who was rejected of men. Huh? Judas, Peter betrayed him, Judas. I have to look at what my Savior, because, see, I'm not above my master. And what they did to the master, they'll do to the servants, the Bible says. So in my processing, having come from an angry home with an angry father, thank God he got saved, I love him, angry about everything, having learned patterns, habitual patterns of emotional anger at times, which should never have been learned as a little child. So as a senior, I just checked out. I said, I'm leaving on a jet plane. I did. Got my guitar and went to Colorado. Never coming back. Don't talk to me. It was all anger. So God has to go in us, because there's, as much as we want an anger-free zone, we get angry. And so the Holy Spirit's trying to say, well, let me remove that out of your anger-free zone. Because any anger that ferments in there will turn to resentment, rage, and murder. You know, we sometimes don't esteem forgiveness like we should. But it's so important to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. If I want to have an anger-free zone, number one, I need to remember, outside of Christ, there is no anger-free zones. That the anger-free zone is not in this building, although it is in this building through us. The anger-free zone is in me. It's my heart. Can I be angry at injustice? Yes, that's righteous anger, like God. Can I be angry at a person? We're not able to handle it. Moses couldn't. 2.5 million people in his church. As soon as they all got baptized, he baptized 2.5 million. Well, God did in the Red Sea. 3 days later, after church, Moses, I thought we were having a potluck after church. No, I hadn't planned it. Well, we all listened to you. You preach it, now where's the food? Well, somewhere. What do you mean somewhere? Moses, and here it is. Did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us? I'm sure Moses was kind of like, what? I mean, the meekest man on the face. I can't imagine. Huh? Like, really? I mean, God put me in the wilderness for 40 years. He took 9 months and did plagues. He divided the sea, killed Pharaoh, and Miriam danced with everybody. Huh? But after 40 years, one time he stepped out of the anger-free zone. And that's what we do. We can step out of it in a second. Thank God for mercy and forgiveness, we get back in it. But he stepped out. He said, "Oh, you rebels." He directed his anger at a person, at the people, rather than the rebellion that they had. When he said that, he smote the rock twice, which is a type of Christ being re-crucified. God says, "Well, Moses, I love you, but you just got disqualified. You're coming home. In fact, I'm going to bury you where no one's even going to find you." I'm sure Moses that night stared up at the stars, received the forgiveness of God, and said, "Man, I wish I would have listened to Pastor Smoltz's message on the anger-free zone. What was I thinking? Why didn't I make time to hear that? Why did I step out of that zone?" Well, maybe that didn't happen, but maybe. Let me give you three things we're going to go. Brother's keeper. Number one, how do we keep it free? Let love be your aim, not judgment. One of the things I would encourage you to do is go online and pay a few dollars and take a personality test. A personality test will tell you a lot about yourself you don't know. It will tell you it describes you that your basic temperament, some of your basic temperament, not everybody here, is a J, which means when you relate to things and people, you automatically judge it. You walk into a room, automatically judge the room. You see somebody, automatically judge them, how they're looking. Automatically judge. Then you have, is it the I, that the I is the opposite. That's the person, "Hey, everybody, how you doing?" The person's got mustard on them. They got a 50s haircut and you know, no man, whatever. And they don't even, "Hey, how you doing? Good to see you." It's interesting because, see, we don't know ourselves as much as we think we do. And if I have a dominant J personality, I'm more susceptible to anger than the rest of the personalities. That's why if you know somebody that's just outgoing, "Hey, the party," you hardly see him angry. But if you have a J personality, you can get ticked off in a second. What do we have to do? You got to work on that. I said, you got to work on that. Who am I talking to? I know some of you are staring right ahead at me, but anyway. How are you going to work on it? Love needs to be predominant, not judgment. I don't want to be judged. I don't want to try to get the mote out of someone else's eye. I've done enough of that in my life, and I think everyone here from pulpit to door and back a few, we've all crossed into that, maybe not even realizing we've been trying to take motes out of people's eyes. God says, "You got a beam in yours. It's called J. You don't see that person how I see that person. You've already sized them up. That's not your job. No wonder you're angry and you separate yourself from people. Why? Because you've made yourself a judge and not a lover." Give God a shout, somebody. I'm preaching to myself, folks. I don't preach nothing that I've not lived or at least I'm trying to get through. My wife and I, we have discussions and it crosses over. We every start, you know what? Hallelujah. Let's bless them. Let's pray for them. You got to stay in that zone. You got to stay in there. You got to literally make a difference. And don't hang around people that have no concept of a anger-free zone. That their whole life is anger. I mean, every time you see them, something's wrong. This is negative. Anger, this is anger, this is wrong. But guess what? You're going to catch that. Walk, you know, don't walk with an angry man lest you learn his ways. Nothing can steal your Christian love and joy like anger that's not justified. Second thing is humility. You know, in that anger-free zone, we need to make sure there's no pride there. There's so many different kinds of pride. The pride of accomplishment. The pride of my intellect. The pride of the skill of my hands. The pride of my job. The pride of my family. The pride of my new dog, Fifi, Fofo. I'm not saying we can't enjoy all those things, but people become proud, not even aware of it. We can become proud of my spiritual accomplishments. Well, look at me now. I have accomplished many spiritual things. God must be laughing sometimes at us. It's like, come on, you ain't got it yet. Stay with the humility. You don't know it all. I don't know it all. Oh, my. Third thing, how to be a brother's keeper, and you put some music on. Keep the fear of God, not self-worship. Self-worship will make you angry. You know why? Because not everybody's going to worship you and I. Not everybody's going to like me. I had somebody say one time, you know, it took me a while to stomach Bill Smalt. I was like, huh? I mean, it's like, didn't get it. I was thinking, well, even if that's true, I would never say that to you, and especially in front of other people. I just got in the car. Really? I'm talking about another believer in the ministry. So, you know, I was thinking, Lord, I'm not going to be like that. That shows me that person is a J, and that's anger. David, you didn't come up here to slay the giant. You came up to see the battle and try to lead this nation against the giant. No, I didn't. Even other believers and other people in the believer's family can wrongly accuse you. What do? I fear God. The God that reached down in May 4th, 1976 in Bath, New York, and saved this drug-induced person from suicide. The God that ordered my steps, gave me a beautiful wife, family, allowed me to preach to 13 countries. I fear him. We often sing and quote, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment thou shalt condemn. But when that word actually comes, if I'm not in that anger-free zone, I will be angry. Why did they say that? I don't ever want to say, after I've met somebody, to say to my wife, man, it takes me a while to stomach that person. If I did, then I need to leave the ministry. Because that's not Jesus Christ. So you have to learn to forgive. Stay in that anger-free zone, church. It's so crucial. Forgive deeply. I've learned this about forgiveness. I don't always feel it when I say forgive. But God's word is greater than what I feel. I don't always feel like worshiping. I don't always feel like preaching. But I do it out of a loving obedience to Christ. Whether feelings cannot be worshiped. And people's emotions today and feelings are so wrapped up that they're worshiped rather than a walk with God. Not only do I want an anger-free zone in me, my heart, the congregation, the assembly of God's people needs to be angry-free. Because we will have people that are hurt, misused, bitter, and they're angry at their parent, angry at their boyfriend, angry. How are we going to help them? Husbands and wives, are you in that anger-free zone? I'll give you a little symptom that you're not. It's called strife. If there's strife makes one go to the say something and walk out or go, you know, I'm not talking. You're not in that anger-free zone. You got to get back to it. Maybe you're here today and saying, you know, Pastor, I need to live there. I know I do. I know that if Moses was disqualified, I know if the great apostle Paul that Jesus appeared to, not only once, several times, first time was the Damascus Road, if the apostle Paul that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament and saw miracles and things beyond our imagination, that when he came to Barnabas and Barnabas brought John Mark to go with Paul, the Bible says the disagreement, it wasn't just like, well, I don't think so. No, it was so strong that they left. Paul, even though he was spiritual, stepped out of the angry free zone. But later on in prison, he goes, you know, bring John Mark, he's profitable. Aren't you glad that the Bible doesn't just talk about perfect people? When Peter cursed the third time, that was anger. You don't curse unless you're angry. How many be honest with him this morning that you want to, the next couple months before the new year, you want to go into this new year living in that angry free zone? You're going to go home for Thanksgiving and Christmas. You're going to have relatives. People are going to be talking about everything, angry. Help me, Jesus. I understand the hate. I understand these things. These are so evil, the things happening, but it can't get in us, so we direct it at somebody. How many husbands and wives divorced because neither one was in that angry free zone and they attacked each other with anger? Because anger separates. Anger causes us to leave. Fight or flight. Most of us are not good at fighting with anger. We flee from it. And those that are good at fighting, you can destroy someone else with your fighting with anger. Heaven's going to be free of unrighteous anger, isn't it? Jesus said to the Pharisees, I'm not angry at you, mankind. I came to save you. I'm angry because your hearts. You have not taken care of the most important thing in your life is your heart. There's nothing more important. If you're watching with us today and maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're sitting there and you're angry. Angry at everything. Angry at God. Angry at the church. Angry at your job. But I want you to know that God understands that. We know that God was merciful to Moses because he later on appeared at the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah. If you're there today and you're struggling with anger, resentment, maybe you're away from Christ. Maybe you've never accepted him. I'd like you to pray this with me. That's right. From your heart. Just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all sin. I believe you died for me and rose the third day. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me, Father, for anger. Forgive me for not living in an angry free zone. Let love and peace be my goal. I hate no man. My anger is for unrighteousness. I thank you today. Fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Amen. Can we stand up this morning? Praise the Lord. I want to take a moment. I know I was addressing the Facebook. We're believing to reach the harvest. But let's just take a moment before God. I don't think all of us in here are in the angry free zone. I wish we were. I wish all of us would live there. I wish I could live there all the time. I tell you, I strive to live there. What the Holy Spirit wants today is a commitment, a new commitment from you to live in that anger-free zone. The symptoms that you're not, you can come to church and you can lift your hands, you can still be out of that zone, is strife and contention. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. That same devil that got into the heart of Cain. Strife is a sign I'm angry. If I'm not angry, you can slap my face, I'll turn the cheek. You can talk about me and say, I don't know if I can stomach that person right in front of people. Okay. No problem. You know, I've settled this thing about, anyway. Could we just close our eyes a second? Just lift your hands before God. Heavenly Father, forgive us the misuse of anger. We so often come out of that angry-free zone, and we pay the price. Separation, relationships, even health, high blood pressure, emotional, paranoia, destroyed marriages, the peace of God gone. Forgive us, Lord. We make a commitment today to live in that angry-free zone. If that's you today, just pray this with me. Lord Jesus, today I make a new commitment to live in the angry, free zone. I ask you for me to live there and commune with you there. Help me to be a peacemaker. For I am my brother's keeper. Whatever color, whatever race, whatever economic situation they're in, whether they're tall or short, whether they're old or young, I will be my brother's keeper and not worship at my own shrine, but care for others in the body. For the hand cannot say to the feet, I have no need of thee. Join us together in harmony. Let this house be an angry-free zone for the healing of those that are angry, for the salvation of those that are lost. And we'll give you the glory and we'll give you the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. If you made that commitment, give Jesus a hand this morning. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you glory. Mighty God. Amen. Praise God. Did we miss anything?